Thanks for listening in today to our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we are continuing our study in the book of Acts. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
For anything that the law has to offer, any of the works that we do by the law. Now, go to Romans 10:4. So you can see this. I'm only showing you some scriptures. I could show you 50 to 100 probably. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the what? Law. I love those who want to practice Judaism after coming to Christ. And especially when they're Gentiles. And I'll point them to this. Christ is the end of the law. Why do you want to go back? Oh, it's so beautiful now that you know Christ. Okay, I get that, but we don't need to, okay? Because for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Don't need to put ourselves under that yoke. And then in chapter 11, verse 6 of Romans. And if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. It's either grace or works, one of the two. Okay, one of the two. That justifies you before God, that makes you innocent. It has to be Jesus and Him only. Now, I'm not saying that once you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you don't have to do anything ever again, and you're saved, and so just go ahead and live your life, and then we'll see you in heaven. Not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that when it comes to you being right with God, it can only be through the person of Jesus Christ. You can't say, and be circumcised, and be baptized, and go to service on the Sabbath, and you can list any and that you've heard other false teachings tell you. We read Galatians 2:16, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. In Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It has to be in Jesus and Jesus only. Now, because of this whole area of Scripture, and we didn't cover all of it, obviously, but in those chapters I talked about, and also in 1 Corinthians 10, and some of these other places where it talks about you're justified through the person of Jesus Christ. It is through that lens of all this overpowering Scripture that we view James chapter 2. Go there. Okay? Always, always view certain Scriptures that are unclear through the lens of Scriptures that are very clear. Do you get that? Here, you have chapter 2 of James, to which, if that's all we had when it comes to justification by faith, then this would tell us, if this is all we had, we'd be going, oh my goodness, we have to work for justification by faith. But because we're going to view it not only in its context, that definitely helps, okay? But through the other lens of Scripture that I just shared, we come to an understanding here of what's being spoken of here. In James chapter 2, the very first 7 verses show we're not supposed to pay any favoritism towards someone just because they're rich or poor or whatever. We need to love everybody equally. In verses 8 through 13, it comments on the law that you're trying to adhere to the law. But just so you understand, if you break one area of the law, you've broken it all, is what James says. And so here in verses 14 through 26, it's a relationship that we're going to see between faith and works. And then understand the examples that are given are supposed to put this into context so we understand what is being meant here by James. Okay? And I would submit to you, as one a scholar has said, more than one, has said, when it comes to justification by faith, there's a difference between justification by faith towards God and justification by faith towards men. And justification by faith towards God is only through the person of Jesus Christ. But in order for men to understand that you've been justified by God through Jesus, it needs to be seen through your works. Okay? So, let's read here in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Meaning, can this kind of faith save him? No, because it's not true saving faith. Okay? Faith that does not produce works is not saving faith. You don't work for faith, but faith works. Now look what it says after this, to put it in its context. If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, meaning it's not real faith. Because here's the thing, when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. See, the way you can show that you're loving God is that you're loving others. And if you're not loving others, it means that you're not really loving God. See, if you've really put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to produce in you a what? Works that shows that you are loving others. And yet when you have an opportunity to help someone in need and you don't lift a finger to help them, then we question your love for God and you truly receiving what Christ did for you on the cross, because what that's going to spur in you, motivate you, a heart of what? Gratitude that you show to God by ministering to others. So it's not real saving faith. Notice the example they give there. Somebody who's destitute, somebody who's in need. He goes on. He says, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Which one is going to be worth more to people who want to see Jesus Christ? The one who has faith by works. They're able to see that you're a believer in the Lord by how you help others. They're going to see that. And then it says, you believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Demons aren't helping out mankind, and neither are you. They believe that there's one God. You say you do? You have the same theology as a demon, is what he's saying. There's no difference between you and a demon. Now, how would you like someone to say that about you? I wouldn't. And so he goes on and he says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It is. It shows it's not real faith. It should motivate you. Now, some of you here, and I got to be honest with you, it was about 10 years ago that I realized that I needed to start seeing people more the way that Jesus sees people, that I need to be loving people more the way that Jesus loves people. And so I started praying. I said, Lord, I want to start seeing people the way you see them. I want to start loving people the way that you love them. And that really began to change my life. I'd like to say that happened, you know, 25 years ago when I came to the Lord, but it took me 15 years to kind of get to that place. I'm here to tell you something. There's some of you here, you don't like people. You don't like people. This might be, when this goes on the radio, this is going to be talking to people in their car. You don't like people. And I got to tell you something, that's not from the Lord. And if you just recognize that, I'm here to tell you, and you can't change that, but God can. And if you begin to pray and say, okay, Lord, I know I'm supposed to, but I don't. They annoy me. They're irritating. They're just always full of problems. I'm here to say, you're correct. Because that's called mankind. That's humanity. We have issues, okay? My schedule's filled with counseling. You have issues, all right? So But I'm here for you. God loves you, you know? And so I'm here to tell you something. If you start to pray, Lord, help me see people the way you see people, you know what's going to happen? You will. Lord, help me love people the way you would love them. You know what's going to happen? You will. But keep praying for that so that your faith is not dead towards other people around you, that they actually see Jesus in you. And so he gives the example here. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he ordered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? It's not without faith. It was working with his works. And by works, faith was made perfect or complete. And look what he says after that. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. That's what made him righteous. And then to show that he was righteous and he really believed God, he then obeyed God by doing what? Taking his son Isaac. And he was going to sacrifice it, which shows he really believed God. God's word tells us that we're supposed to love our neighbor. God's word tells us that we're supposed to take care of one another, love and exhort and encourage one another. So if I really trust God, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to do those things. But if I have to do them out of obligation, there's a disconnect there. You should want to do it because you're so grateful for what God has done for you. You're so grateful that God revealed himself to you. You're so in love with him because of what he has shown you through the person of Jesus Christ. And you're so grateful you love him by expressing it by loving other people. And if you're having a hard time doing that, just pray and ask God that you could see them the way that he sees them, to love them the way, and he'll start to do that with you. Going back here, he then gives the example of Rahab, same thing. She believed, and it showed that she believed. She was justified by the way that she carried out her life after that. I'll make sure I get all my family in this one place. I believe that God is sending you into this land, and shows it by her actions. And true faith is revealed by actions. It's not the actions that produce true faith, but true faith produces actions. And so through the lens of justification, through Jesus and Jesus only, we're able to see this now of where James is coming from here, is that you have to now portray your justification before men, and it's going to be seen by how you minister and love one another. That's how that's going to be seen. Does that make sense? Please say yes. Okay, good. Afterwards, if you need more on this, we can do that. So, James is examining these two kinds of faith, one that leads to godly works, one does not. One is true faith, the other is false. One is dead, the other one is alive. So, going back here to Acts chapter 15, verse 6. It says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up. Now, Peter's going to give five reasons that salvation is by grace alone. Okay? And then James is going to step up and give a sixth reason. Okay? So the first reason is that God saved the Gentile family of Cornelius by grace alone. And so Peter rose up and he said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Meaning this, I shared with them who Jesus was, how he died for the sin of mankind, and guess what? They received that. And if they received that, and if that is the gospel message, that he died for our sins and on the third day rose again, he's now at the right hand of God, showing that he defeated death, showing that he is God. And if you believe that, you will be saved. Being that God did not require any further requirements on top of that, why should we? Why are you adding requirements to that? When we gave the gospel, they received it. And they were saved right then and there. If they were saved, then why are we adding to what God has already given them in the gospel message. And then he says in verse 8, so God who knows the heart acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. Not only did he save the Gentiles by faith, he also gave them the Spirit, which proves that they are saved. In Romans 8, 9, it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Galatians 3, 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 4, 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So, gospel message was given, they received it, the Holy Spirit came inside of them to prove that they are saved. And then, just in case they question that the Holy Spirit really came inside of them, he says, and made no distinction between us and them. What Peter is saying here, the same phenomenon that happened to us on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon us and spoke in tongues, guess what? Same thing happened to them. And you might recall in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius that when Peter came to Cornelius' household, he had six Jewish brethren with him as a witness, testimony. And then he says, reason number three, purifying their hearts by faith. Peter's argument here is that those who've been purified, those who have been cleansed, are obviously saved. So if God has cleansed and purified the people, then why do we have to add certain requirements to make them saved? Paul would later write in Ephesians 1:7, in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Since Gentile believers have already been cleansed or purified of their sins by grace alone by faith, what more could the law of works or rituals do for an individual? Nothing. Nothing. Because justification is already granted. Reason number four, the inability of the law to bring about salvation. Peter, verse 10 says, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? I love this. Peter's argument here is that it's ridiculous to pose upon the Gentiles something that didn't work for us. Which Jew has ever been saved through the law? Which Jew has ever had the Holy Spirit come inside of them because of the law? What Jew has ever been cleansed from their sins by the law? None. And so why are we requiring something that did not work for us? Verse 11, and here's something that would have really bristled the Judaizers. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Look what he says here. This is incredible. Peter does not say they shall be saved in the same manner as us. He says that we may be saved just like them. What is Peter saying here? This is what Peter is saying. He is saying, in other words, we believe that through the grace of Jesus Christ, we could be saved. We Jews who are so entangled with legalism and the works of the law can be free to just freely enjoy salvation, just like they're able to do. They're able to have so much joy because they realize they were far from God, and now that they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, they are now have peace with God, and they can rejoice in the joy of their salvation, knowing that they get to spend eternity with God, how great that joy is, without worrying about the works of the law. We can become just like them. That's huge. That's huge. And then he says, he gives the fact that the miracles prove salvation by grace. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silent. Listen to Barnabas and Paul. So they're both declaring these things, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. What is he saying? If our message is incorrect, that it's not just faith alone in the work of Jesus Christ, why is God authenticating our message with miracles, signs, and wonders. And let's reverse that for a second. You Judaizers, with your message, is God authenticating that with signs and wonders and miracles? No. That's another argument there. Now, James kind of steps up, and he gives a sixth reason that it's salvation by grace alone, and that the Gentiles are doing just fine, because he says in verse 13, "And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the very first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." He's saying, look, we've already seen through Peter that Peter was the one that was called to first open the doors to the Gentiles. And here's the thing, Scripture agrees with them. Verse 15, "And with this, the words of the prophet agree." Scriptures agree with what Peter has done in opening the door of salvation to the Gentiles. "Just as it is written, after this I will return. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works." James quotes from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. He's saying what is happening here is in accordance with Scripture. Now, that is speaking of a further event in the millennial kingdom. But because God in the future is going to also be saving the Gentiles, he's also doing that in the present. It still agrees with Scripture that God wants to save the Gentiles. Verse 19, here comes the conclusion of the whole matter. "Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God." Let's not trouble them. Let's not agitate them that they first have to get circumcised. Look, one or two things. Either you are a stepping stone in someone's life to bring them close to the Lord, or you're a stumbling block, one of the two. All right? And then to add on to this wonderful saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, this wonderful atoning work that he's done on our behalf, and then to add to that, that you have to adhere to the law of Moses, that you have to be circumcised. I got to tell you, that would be a stumbling block for many men. And by the way, you also have to get circumcised. Whoa, what? No. That's a stumbling block. And so we look here and they go, look, we're not here to trouble anyone. We're not to agitate. We're not here to make things difficult for you. It was done for you on the cross. All you have to do is receive that. How awesome is that wonderful message of salvation? Now, you and I both know that once you receive the Lord, that's great. Salvation, very easy in the way of accepting the work that Christ did for you on the cross. Now, to walk with the Lord, yeah, that's going to be difficult. Okay, that's the difficult part. Anyone can be a believer, but not everybody is a disciple. And a disciple is like his master. That's different. There are many believers in God's kingdom. I'm here to tell you, not many disciples though. Willing to walk, pick up the cross, do all those kind of things. And that's for a different time. We're just talking about being a believer. Okay. From the holy love of God, we will meet in the golden city in Jerusalem.
That's all we have time for today on this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Acts. Fall is here, which means it's time for our annual Harvest Festival. On October 31st, Calvary Castle Rock will be hosting a wonderful free event for the whole family. The night will include carnival games, inflatables, high strikers, face painting, funnel cakes, food, and of course, lots of candy. So come on out and join us from 4 to 8 p.m. October 31st. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.